Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, buddy, before we get started with this week's episode, which we recorded way back in November of 2023. Wow, what a different time. I wanted to update you on a few changes you may have noticed around these parts. First up, we have new show art that is from Duck Brigade Design at Duck Brigade Design on social media or duckbrigade.com. A new show art for Get Animated and Get Played. You probably saw that as your podcast title. Or saw it on social media. But thanks to Gabe and Andrea over there, we're very, very happy with it. Also, we have a new theme song that is from Ben Prunty, one of my favorite working video game composers from FTL, Subnautica Below Zero, Into the Breach. You've heard his work in those games, and now you can hear it on our podcast. We really love it. BenPruntyMusic.com, and that link will also be in our show notes. And one more thing. We now have our back catalog. All of our episodes previous to our new alliance with HeadGum are available on our Patreon. So that includes How Did This Get Played? That includes our premium DLC, which was formerly paywalled as part of Stitcher Premium, Rest in Power. You can get all that now at patreon.com/getplayed. In fact, that's the only place to get it. And so we have a Get Animated there. That's our anime watch along show. We also have the Get Played back catalog. You can get that as a standalone, or you can get that as a bundle with Get Animated. So check all that out. Anyway, thanks again to Andrea and Gabe at Duck Brigade Design. Thanks again to Ben Prunty, BenPruntyMusic.com. We're just thrilled with all this new stuff that's just adding a fresh coat of paint to this dusty old show. Anyway, enjoy this week's episode and maybe get ready to get played. Hey, everyone. Before we start the show, we just wanted to make an announcement because we talked about a bunch of games that were coming out in 2024, and then we got some news afterwards and wanted to add this.
Yeah. So just to peek behind the curtain a little bit is that we record the episodes first, and then afterwards we record the intros. But in that time, we got this massive announcement that actually no new games are coming out this year.
Yeah, there's no new games coming out in 2024. So, don't bother putting in any pre-orders at GameStop. More games for me.
Yeah. Don't go to your local game stores and actually don't even look this up. It's like you can just trust us. We're two vetted, sources that there are no games coming out.
There are no games.
So don't even try to go pre-order the cool games that are coming out and then I can get all the games that I want.
Yeah, don't go. Don't, you know, open up the Steam store and try to look for new releases that are coming out in 2024 and, you know, add them to your shopping cart because then I can buy them all for me.
Yeah. And then also, Nick, I'm seeing something else crazy on the computer here. No more gaming hardware coming out either.
Oh, so, I heard this too.
The new consoles and like...
Boop, boop, boop. This is Dan Rather. No new gaming hardware is coming out either. Boop, boop, boop.
Okay, that was
urgent
live.
News alert that just came in.
That was live on the news right now. We turned the TV on for 1 second. They happened to be talking about it. But like, so if you think about like trying to pre-order something because you might see something that's fake, that's
you
actually they're trying to steal your identity.
The OLED, you know, Steam Deck they've been talking about. Don't bother getting one of those so I can keep it for myself.
Don't try. I know that everyone's been talking about there's going to be a Switch 2.
Switch 2.
Don't even try to pre-order it because then I can have it and then I'll have it first.
They'd just be for me and Matt. We'll get all the games.
All the games for us. Just the goodest guys.
If we're the only two who can get the games, then we get to have all the games to ourselves.
That's right. And even though they're digital, there's only so many.
We don't understand how the economy works. We think that downloads are limited.
All the games for us all the time because we deserve it. And actually, you know what? If you're listening this far, you're actually really bad. You don't deserve any of the games.
You're bad for listening this far. So even if the games do come out, you shouldn't get them.
And your punishment is that you can't pre-order it, and then there's more for us. But yeah, so like it's just like
It's a real bummer. It's a real sad news. But you know that's the reality. And hey, you got lots of stuff that you can play in your backlog. You can't play that either.
No,
they're all for me.
You gotta send those to us.
We preview a bunch of new games we won't have time to play because there are too many new games. As we look ahead at the 2024 release calendar this week on Get Played. Wow, it's Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to Get Played! I'm Nick Weiger, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get Played. Matt, we are recording this a bit in advance, but we're looking ahead to 2024.
We can tell the future now, Nick.
Can we?
I don't know. We're looking into the future. I guess we can't really do anything about it, can we? We can see what's going on, we can see what's coming out, but ultimately we have no impact on those realities, you know?
Well, this is the thing. Like, if you could see the future, do you actually have the power to change it? I mean, this is a thing that's probably been explored a bunch of different ways with any sort of a soothsaying ability is like, or is the future fated to become that way?
Mm.
And that's why you can see it as it's certain to be.
I sort of feel that if I could see the future and see how something could come out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could change anything.
Like,
I don't know if I have the power or the strength to do something like that.
I think I'd just be too lazy.
Yeah,
I'll
that's the other
this
thing.
Shit.
Imagine I see it and I'm like in the most comfortable place I've ever been.
Yeah.
I'm not doing jack shit.
Exactly.
Dog.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
I'm very excited about something right now that I have to simply call out.
Yes.
First of all, we're being recorded by Emma.
That's right. Doughboys producer Emma Erbrink is filling in today. Hi, Emma. Great to have you here.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
So, Jemmy the dog was on the other side of the room just a little bit ago.
That's right.
And now she's actually closer to my side.
Jemmy has become a beautiful dog. What kind of dog is she? I know she's a rescue.
We're not totally sure. We think there's definitely some beagle in there and a little Jack Russell. We think maybe a little Whippet.
She is cute as a button, and she has become a recent fixture of Doughboys Records in studio. And because you're here today, Jemmy is here, and it's a delight. We've not done a dog in studio record before.
Once in the 200 and some odd episodes has there been a dog on Heather's end. Yeah, there's been a dog.
That's true.
But not in studio.
Never
in studio. Yeah. So this is very exciting. And I was kind of worried that, it is happening right now as we speak. Jemmy is going back to the other side and is somehow favoring Nick.
She's very tentative. She still doesn't like me, even though I feel like I know her pretty well. But I think she just sort of gets my energy, right?
Sure. Yeah, Jemmy's very quiat and very
Let me
very
stay away
chill.
From this guy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, she knows how to take care of you. Get up here, Jemmy. Come here.
Good girl.
Come on.
Are you going to talk about my favorite game, Catch?
Jemmy, we are not that kind of game show.
Yeah, our guest is Jemmy, and today we're going to be talking about Catch. So the thing about Catch is you could do it with sort of any ball.
Right, right. Sometimes a fun thing to do when you're playing Catch is to like fake like you're throwing the ball, like do a really vigorous motion.
I'll tell you who does not like that. Jemmy, or any of the dogs. It is a cruelty only known to man.
But so cute.
Yeah. Oh, you're being very good,
She's
Jemmy. We love having you here. And Emma, we love having you here as well.
Oh, happy to be here.
What a treat. So, yeah, we're going to be, I guess, just generally, how are you feeling about 2024 from a gaming standpoint? Because we're coming off of a banger year, 2023, a lot of great games, maybe an all-timer year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's quite in that tier.
It's kind of tough because, like, I can't think about the years that I've gamed that were better than others because it's done so far in the past now. But, like, since we've been doing this show.
Yes.
2023 was absolutely one of the best years in gaming, like that since we've started, at least, right?
We were also like, yeah, we've obviously weathered a couple of, weathered a couple pandemic years, which affected the releases of those years, but in subsequent years as such. And I 2022, but I think especially 2023, I think benefited from those backlog of games that were in development, you know, finally being able to get a proper release. Because, yeah, it was just a deluge. It was honestly too much. That was the big issue with 2023.
Too much. 2024, could be a dud. We're maybe due for a dud, but
yeah, maybe the stinker year. Maybe just a straight up bad year.
Yeah,
maybe just everything sucks. There's nothing worth playing.
If it's a stinker
it's all
year,
garbage.
You know who's gonna be excited about it? The critic.
The critic loves to say it stinks. I don't know if he's ever reviewed any video games, but I think probably just generally any sort of media that displeases him, he will deem it as stinking.
Do you think he has the same stance as like a Roger Ebert that video games can never achieve art?
That's a good question. I mean, I think probably being written as something of a Siskel and Ebert sort of analog, I bet he would have the same sort of condescension towards a nascent art form. Certainly the era when the critic was airing. But these days, I don't know. I feel like I feel like Ebert would have come around.
Yeah, he would have had to see something like The Last of Us or, The Last of Us 2 or any, honestly, like any.
Last of Us Left Behind.
Yeah.
Last of Us Part 1, the remake.
Yeah, yeah. Anything like that. If he would have seen anything like that, he would have been like, I'm so sorry, gamers.
No, I actually think it's maybe more on the indie side, like things that aren't like, because I think a lot of times it was like stuff that was attempting to be cinematic was stuff that would be more sneered at. But then looking at something that's a little bit more, artful or that uses a gaming, the medium as a, like takes advantage of what's present there, what's innate to that art form. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like something like Journey, which is a game that Heather doesn't like, but she's not here.
We can talk about Journey
because
like.
Heather's not here.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like that's the kind of game that you can get someone on board with, like, oh, okay, this is kind of a different sort of experience that you can't have in a non-interactive way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's interesting. I think
versus gameplay broken up by cutscenes, and they're just going to say, this isn't a movie. You know?
I think because he liked anime,
sure,
Roger Ebert would eventually like video games. I think he'd get there.
100%. We can only speculate.
Yeah.
Though.
May he rest.
R.I.P. I loved Ebert.
I loved watching those two bitches argue. It's so funny.
I will still put those on. Like I was watching. I'll just put on a YouTube compilation of like Siskel and Ebert going at it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Absolute,
and you watch one of them sometimes, and they're just like both super cranky, and you're just watching it feeling like, I bet they didn't have lunch before they shot the episode. That's all this was.
You knew it was going to be a good one when they looked like either one of them could slap the other one.
Yes, yeah.
But now we actually know we don't joke about slapping anymore.
No, that's
we can't.
Absolutely not.
We can't.
No, comedy was changed forever. I don't even know if we can joke, period. Comedy might be over.
No, and that actually is really good for us.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. 7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Hey, buddy, I want to tell you about a new podcast you need to listen to. Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect explores anime and the way it shows up throughout our world. Hosts Nicholas Friedman, LaAlec Murray, and Leah President discuss the latest in news, updates, and deep dives on the shows and pop culture you love. From breaking down the anime awards to analyzing Godzilla Minus One to discussions with musicians like Yeji, stay up to date on the latest in anime with Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. Hey, for me, I'm interested in hearing them talk about One Piece, because I've been getting into One Piece myself. And they're also talking about The Boy and the Heron and Studio Ghibli movies, things that I love. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth they get into. They do some gaming content. Kaiju Number 8, that's a manga a lot of people like, that is turning into an anime. We'll see how that adaptation is. So listen now, wherever you get your podcasts, Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. All right, now that we're done referencing two Oscars ago, let's look ahead to the future. But first, actually, I do want to take a pause and think about this year that is just ending, 2023, mm-hmm. as we ask, what are you playing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought the way we could handle this, Matt, is we're going to, because we're recording this in advance, I thought we could discuss a 2023 game we wanted to play but didn't get around to. So if you want to think on that for a second, I have some ideas of my own. But also, Emma, I wanted to include you because I know that you are someone who, I don't know how much of a gamer you are, but I do know you played the shit out of Breath of the Wild, and you have been playing Tears of the Kingdom, yes?
Yeah, that's actually the only game I've been playing is Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow.
But it's huge. I mean, I started it when it came out, and then I took a break for a while because it was a little overwhelming and I was moving, and now I'm kind of back into it. But it's still very overwhelming. It's such a huge game. Like, I haven't even touched the depths. I'm, like, scared to go down there.
It's a lot scary. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually was exploring. I was showing it to Mike the other day, and I was, like, explored more in that moment than I had before, and I was realizing it was because someone was sitting there with me, and I wasn't, like, by myself in the dark or something. Jemmy snuggles with me a lot while I play video games, too, which is helpful.
Well, that's cute.
But that's kind of all I've been playing. Yeah. I think I could play it for years.
Right. That's the sort of, my understanding is, like, with Breath of the Wild, you just, like, hunkered down with that and just played the shit out of it. And the same sort of process. Do you like all the building stuff that's been added?
I like the building is fun. I like just, like, being able to run around and, like, choose, like, some days I'm like, I'm not going to fight anything. Right. I'm just going to, like, forage for mushrooms and, like, run around and, like, look at pretty things. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm going to go kill a bunch of stuff. And I like being able to choose that. I'm not sacrificing the, like, actual game too much by doing that in a way. But yeah, the building in this one's kind of fun. That's new.
Yeah.
It's confusing a little bit, but I'm getting there.
Do you care about, like, chasing the, or, you know, following the story too much? Or are you just, like, getting in there and sort of, like, hanging out and, like, vibing?
I follow the story. Okay. I follow, like the side quests are fun because it's kind of, there, a lot of them are fairly self-contained.
Yeah.
And you can, like, start and end. The main story, I tend to get off track. And then I, like, find myself back around at things where I'm like, oh, I was definitely supposed to encounter this much earlier than I did. Because it's, like, way easier than I thought it was going to be or something like that. You know what I mean? But I follow the story. I'm almost through I have one more, like, regional thing phenomenon to tackle in Tears of the Kingdom.
The reason I ask is because I recently heard my friend's wife playing this game in a way that I've never heard anybody play this game before. And they basically 100%ed every single aspect of the game.
Whoa.
And then got to the final boss and was like, I'm good, and turned it off.
Yes.
Wait,
like, just
what?
Like, did not care to finish to defeat Ganon at all. Was like, I'm good. I think I'm done with this.
We maybe talked about this specifically on the pod
maybe.
Before.
Yeah.
But I do think there's an element of just, like, maybe not even realizing like what's going on there is like, I don't want this experience to be over. I don't want like the finality of like, this is done, you know, but who knows?
I love the flex.
Yeah. It's like, I do like that.
Also 100%ing everything in that game. I like can't even, I 100%ed the shrines in Breath of the Wild and that took fucking forever. Yeah. And I had to cheat. Like I had to look them up
at
a certain point. I was like, there's three left. How the fuck am I supposed to find them?
Did you go after Korok seeds?
I did. I don't remember how many of them I had. I don't care. That was too many.
Yeah, like, I don't
that's
shit.
The 100%ing thing that like blows my mind. Like, I don't even know how you do that.
No.
So many.
I fell off of, it sounds like you're further than I got when I kind of fell off of Tears of the Kingdom more just because I was like overwhelmed by all the stuff to play. And and also the game, it's just kind of daunting in its scope. But you finished it.
I finished it and I like now can't tell you like a single thing about it. Like it left my mind completely.
Yeah, right.
Like I remember like, you know, the things that we're talking about, the depths and like the building and the powers ascending. I remember that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But like if I got back in there, I would be worthless. Like I just can't, like I haven't played it since I finished it.
I feel like that's kind of the weirdness of it being the same map as Breath of the Wild too. Like I thought I had been to Karako Village or whatever it's called last night. I got there and I hadn't been there yet in this game, and I was just like remembering it from the other game, you know what I mean? So like I kind of conflate the memory, so like I'll be like, oh, I did that thing, I've been here before, but like I actually haven't. So there's new stuff to find, you know.
It's I would say it was one of my games of the year, and I like it's gone from my brain now. I guess I could play it again.
You know what I liked is that Addison guy. Support the guy supporting the president.
You,
yeah,
you would.
He's
with
my
all
guy.
The signs.
That simp.
I'm going around doing that for Biden.
happy 81st birthday to the goat.
Man, he's up there. All right. Well,
bitch.
I thought I'd. Look, you're not saying anything about his competency for office.
I'm just saying he's old. I would say this if I thought he was the greatest guy ever.
Bitch.
He's old.
Old as shit.
And you know what? I hope he got a big scoop of ice cream for his little dessert.
He loves it.
I'd be right there with him having a cone. I love ice cream.
Yeah, I also love ice cream. What a treat. Matt, a couple of games that I wanted to get to in 2023. And it actually ties in with something that's coming out in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yakuza franchise, which has been rebranded like a dragon. There were a couple spin-off games that came out in 2023 that I didn't get time to spend time with either of them, even though they were both on Game Pass. Like a Dragon Ishin and Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. One is set in like a kind of a feudal Japan setting. It is like a samurai game. That's Like a Dragon Ishin, and it looks really cool. And it also like looked like it had all the charm of the Yakuza franchise that I really like from Yakuza Zero. Plus this historical setting, which is just like a really interesting context for it. And the other one is, stars Kiryu. And that one, it came out more recently, but I love that character. He's like the best. I just didn't have time for either of those. And hopefully in the new year, I'll be able to budget some time to explore some more of the Yakuza franchise. But I do feel like part of this exercise should be us saying, will we ever get around to this? And if I'm being honest with myself, no, I will never get around to playing these two games that look like they really interest me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to.
Yes. Yeah. I think for me, I'll probably be delusional and say I'll get to all of these. And there's just absolutely no way. Because I'm thinking of games. Not just games I didn't get to touch, but games I started and didn't finish, you know?
Yeah. Well, what would you, if you were going to zero in on one or two things, what would it be for 2023?
As far as games that I didn't finish, I would have loved, I'd love to get back in there and finish off Baldur's Gate 3, and Armored Core 6, probably my two big ones of the ones that I played this year. But as of ones that I've missed, I heard a lot about Lies of P.
People love Lies of P
and
crazy Pinocchio game. Pinocchio Souls-like.
And I think I would have liked to get in there, I think, but it's too late for me. And that's one that I feel pretty confident that there's just no way. There's just no way I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
Because, like, that type of game occupies such a very specific, like, I think I was looking at this the other day. You know, my most played game on PlayStation is still Elden Ring by, like, 100 hours.
That rocks.
Like, the next thing down is, like, 70 hours or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, I put almost 200 hours into Elden Ring. And I don't think I can do that again. I don't think Lies of P is as chunky as Elden Ring, but that was a big one, a big, big one to me. But you know, I didn't get to play the Dead Space remake either. And I was actually pretty interested in that for being a big coward.
It was supposed to be a great remake. Yeah. And I also didn't get to it. I mean, It's because we covered the Resident Evil 4 remake and
oh, we loved it.
That. But it is kind of like just whatever you have attention for. The other one that came out, there was a System Shock remake
That's
as well
right.
that we like maybe barely touched on.
Yeah,
but that was another one
it.
I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's that's the other thing when you've got these now you got these high gloss, high production value remakes of like classic games. It feels like a new game, even if you've played it. So you kind of want to revisit it. If you haven't played, it's like, well, hell, now's the reason for me to finally play this thing.
We replayed The Last of Us this year.
Yes, yeah.
They remade it and we played it again.
Was that in 2023?
That was this year, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But those are two.
The Last of Us Part 1 came out in 2023?
Yeah, The Last of Us.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it came out in 2022. You're right. But at the end of the year.
Okay. We covered it in 2023?
No, we covered it the month it came out.
All right.
We covered it last year.
So I've lost my mind.
But we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Marvel's Midnight Suns is one I do feel like I will get to. I was pretty interested in
and that.
That
was like a 2022 release,
yes,
even, like
but
a
I
very
feel,
late
but
2022.
I feel like all the stuff I heard about it, though, was 2023. Though. Does that make sense? Like,
no, I gotcha.
I feel like a lot of people, the conversation about Marvel's Midnight Suns really began in 2023.
It came out at the tail end of the year amidst a deluge of releases and kind of got buried. And then when people got around to it the next year, they were like, check this game out. Yeah.
Yeah. But
my thing with Lies of P. First off, anytime, because I haven't played all the Souls games, Bloodborne is a notable blind spot for me. I'm like, if I am going to commit to playing that kind of game, why don't I just play Bloodborne? So that's my first block for that.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And then my other issue is Lies of P. We should be talking about Lies of T. Trump. We'll be right back. All right, we're back.
Nick looked into a camera with a fucking lens cap on it. Absolute psycho shit. I'm going to call Mitt. We got to lock our boy up. That was crazy.
I don't think you can do the joyless, like, I just give you some, a little bit of the Daily Show, like, I've got a serious bit of like, truth I just dropped, throw to commercial without looking at a camera.
You
got to
look at a camera.
Like you have to look at a camera, even if it's off.
My thing about Lies of P is that it makes me think of pissing the bed.
Mmm. You pee
I'm
the bed.
Lying and pee.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say that you pee in the bed and then you lie about it. It's like, oh, I don't know what happened.
Who
I guess it was
all
really
over me in the bed. Yeah. Some freak came in here and pissed all over me. And it also makes you think of the rental song Friends of Pee.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So that's actually not bad. I like that. And we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries, while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about 2024. I think the way to a good baseline here, Matt, is the Game Awards 2023 nominees for most anticipated game. Because we can just look at these and start here and maybe take the conversation from there. But here they are. Here are the nominees. And as of this episode's release, I'm sure a winner will have been crowned. Also, what a weird award.
Yeah, the
Game Awards
in
general
most.
Are chaos. But like this, yes. Like this just like hammers home what an exercise in marketing it is. It's just like hey, let's name what game we're most excited for that isn't even out yet.
Yeah, and we have no frame of reference for really for some of these too.
Well, I think for the largely like entries in maybe entirely entries in existing franchises.
Yeah,
so it's
that's
just kind of like, okay, here are these ones. Here's the next one of these. So naturally people are going to be hyped for it. Here they are. Most anticipated game nominees: Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Hades 2, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Star Wars Outlaws, and Tekken 8.
There's no way. I mean, gosh, when did Tekken 7 come out, though? Tekken 7.
I have no sense of the Tekken franchise. I haven't played a Tekken avidly since Tekken 3 on PlayStation 1.
I know that in me saying this, people are going to say that I'm wrong and try to come for me on this. I don't think anybody likes Tekken this much.
I think there are some, I will come for you because I think that's insane. I think there are some huge Tekken fans. And my understanding is that the Tekken series has been quite good. It's just like, it's just not for me.
No.
If I'm going to play a fighting game, I'm going to play something else. And I don't play fighting games really.
The Tekken 7 came out in 2015. So I guess this is anticipated because it will have been 9 years since the previous entry. There hasn't been a Tekken in a long time. Which is cool. I'm happy for the Tekken fans. And actually, I didn't even say that.
Yeah.
I didn't even say that nobody likes Tekken. You made that up. It's in the episode, but I don't even know how it got there. I think I thought that's why I'm messing with the wires over there.
Got it.
I think something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jemmy said it.
People are dousing their pitchforks. Or yeah, okay. They're putting their pitchforks away and dousing their torches, so they're fine.
Thanks for taking the heat on that, Jemmy. But yeah, I guess of this list, I'll tell you that I'm probably most personally excited for Hades 2 on this list, but I'm very curious about, I know that Star Wars Outlaws is like a bounty hunter game, which is kind of more exciting to me than a Jedi game because it feels like there's more to do there or more to do that we haven't done in a Star Wars video game before.
Right.
Because my big thing about Star Wars is that we see Jedi stuff all the time.
Yes.
We could be seeing any other stuff. It's a rich world with a bunch of crazy stuff going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to see this one Jedi family or like even the Jedi at all.
Sure.
We could just, that's why The Mandalorian works so well until they start bringing Jedi stuff into it. Because then you're like, okay, now it's tied to the stuff I already know.
Now it's just the Luke Skywalker deepfake show.
Exactly.
And that's just like, that's its own kind of exhausting.
Yes. So
I enjoy The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That wasn't a criticism. Yeah. It's more that just like I'm used to that.
Yes.
I've seen that a lot. This is interesting to me because we don't really get to do that in a Star Wars video game that often, which I'm excited about. I would be more excited about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth had I finished VII Remake, which I would like to do still.
I did finish VII Remake, and I am definitely excited for Rebirth. I mean, I think that was just like a perfectly done, remake, like the way, because it's not a remaster as like the, you know, the Dead Spaces that we talked about earlier are, where it's just like, this is the same game, but everything looks and plays like a contemporary game. It's like, it's a whole new game that has a lot of the story beats from the first, but even those are kind of like rearranged and some details are changed and the characters are there, but they're all a little different. And the gameplay is completely different from the turn-based battling of the original game. And it's just like, it's, but also like, it's such a richly realized world that actually feels populated, which was a big part of what I liked about the game. And what didn't work for me with Cyberpunk initially is like, it didn't feel like this was an actual living world there. It feels like, oh man, they actually made this feel inhabited. Like this is a larger society where people, you know, work and love and so forth.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
And will you be honest with me,
please?
Do I have to play the original one to like?
No, you do. You don't have to play Final Fantasy VII, but I think they're probably. I think you maybe should play Final Fantasy VII just because it's a great game. I think there's probably ways around some of the tedium. I don't know if they've done a. There hasn't been a re-release that lets you toggle off random encounters or so forth, I don't think.
No.
But I think you can just, I think it's good enough where it's worth playing. And those quirks of the old school JRPG, you can just sort of power through.
Because again, I've started it a few times on a few different systems.
Yeah.
And have been like, I kind of just want to play the new one because new one is.
This is the other thing. Just play the remake.
Okay.
I'm saying like certainly there's no prerequisite to play the original.
Okay.
I think you probably would enjoy it knowing your tastes and knowing that you're like open to playing older games.
Yes.
But also I would not let that stop you from reengaging with Final Fantasy VII Remake or with Rebirth. I want to go back to Star Wars Outlaws for a second because. The one thing that concerns me about Star Wars Outlaws is that it's from Ubisoft.
Yes.
And I feel like they exactly do the kind of bloated open world game that I kind of am exhausted by. Now, maybe this won't be that, maybe, but I just kind of feel like I'm just, to me, that's a red flag. To me, that's just like, is this going to be just Assassin's Creed Star Wars? Is this going to have that kind of feel?
Yeah. I'm concerned about it being a service game because like I feel like some releases in the last couple of years have been sneaky service games that I'm not super stoked about. Like, you know, last year when we did this like similar premise of an episode.
Yeah.
I said that Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League was one of my more anticipated games of the year. It got delayed twice since then. And
we can talk about it today because it's a 2024 release at this point.
It's been pushed to this year, 2024, or the year that, you know, of 2024. And the stuff that they showed of it is like, it's like a live service game. It's a shooter. It's a third person shooter game. And that's like not fun or interesting to me in this, you know,
but do you mean like it's monetized like a game as a service? Is that what you're saying?
Loot.
Oh, okay.
There's like loot and stuff. And it's like it's a total miscalculation of what people want from that franchise. I think people want that sort of like Batman combat, like that, you know, they're all individual characters. They could all have their own move sets, but like every single one of them has a gun. And there's like rarity of loot and stuff.
Right. But to me, that's different than like a game as a service where I'm thinking of like, oh, there's a bunch of, you know, monetization. There's a bunch of stuff that you can buy in game. Like to me that I'm just, maybe this is just a terminology thing, but I'm just thinking of something different when you're saying that. Like if it's a looter shooter, that's its own. That also like to me does not seem like a good use of the property.
No.
But
maybe that's what I mean then, because it seems like if you see, I mean, some of these characters do have guns.
Yeah.
Is the thing. But like if you're fucking what's his name? King Shark or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You want to chomp some people.
He doesn't have a gun?
He has a gun.
I would think he would have a gun.
Well,
wouldn't they all have guns?
I don't know.
These are bad guys, right?
Harley Quinn would have big hammer. hitting people with big hammer,
right?
Or a bat.
Oh. She can have a gun.
Captain Boomerang has Boomerang.
Does he have a gun? They give Captain Boomerang a gun?
Captain Boomerang a gun. And it doesn't shoot
that
boomerangs.
That one doesn't make any sense.
King Shark should be chomping, is what I'm saying.
At minimum, his Captain Boomerang's gun should be like Quick Man and should shoot out boomerangs.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. But I'm not, I like, it went from my most anticipated to I could give two shits about it and probably won't play it. I'm like not interested at all anymore.
Wow. You mentioned Hades 2.
That's right.
Hades 2 is going into early access, I think, in 2024. I mean, now I did not play Hades 1 in early access at all. It was in early access for a long time. It's a big part of why it was such a refined game when it finally released. I don't know if I'm going to be curious about Hades 2 to dip in with early access. I mean, the honest truth is I probably will. But there's also a part of me that's like, maybe I don't need to do that. And maybe I can just wait till this game is actually out. Because honestly, Baldur's Gate 3 was in early access for a very long time, for a prolonged period of time. And to me, my experience benefited from waiting until that was actually released, you know, as a finished retail game. I mean, finished, quote unquote. Yeah. Obviously, had a lot of bugs and things that were updated in the subsequent months since release. But like, I kind of wonder if I'm going to take the same approach toward Hades 2. I'll probably get it in early access and mess around with it just a little bit. But man, how much did you love Hades 1? What a game.
What a, as the kids say, what an absolute unit. I don't know if they say it like that, but
yeah, I don't think kids say that at all.
What it's like. Yeah. They do.
Absolute unit is like that's like a big guy, right?
Yeah. It's a big guy of a game. It's good.
Hades is an absolute unit.
Yeah. it's not a huge game, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's
maybe
huge.
Like Sisyphus within Hades is an absolute unit, or Hades himself is
Cerberus
kind of an
absolute
unit.
Cerberus is an absolute unit.
Yeah, Cerberus is a big boy. Yeah.
Okay. Hades is an absolute unit.
Mm.
He's big.
I'm glad the two of us, over 30 guys, just figured out how to use slang from five years ago.
Okay. Cool that you looped yourself in with me. but I'm pretty excited for Hades 2. I don't really get in there in early access, but I feel like I will with this.
Yeah.
Because if the floor is Hades 1, I think it's going to be fine. Like if the minimum they're working with is Hades 1.
Let me tell you, if it's just more Hades, I'll take all that you got.
I think that's fine.
We just got some new boons and some different gods. Like, great. Well, whatever. I'll play this shit forever.
Because what we might be seeing here is Better Call Saul, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with the quality of the final seasons of Breaking Bad.
Mm.
Breaking Bad, rocky start, becomes one
How
of the great.
You.
I like all of it. I love all of it. It's my maybe my favorite show. Yeah. Like, I love it.
Kind of has a rocky finish too with Hank and Zoner Minerals.
What? We'll be right back. It has a it's a tonally sort of different thing, though. Like, mm-hmm. It becomes like what we know Breaking Bad in the later seasons.
Right.
And,
sure.
And Better Call Saul starts with that level of quality. And Nick just cracked a cold one.
You'd never call attention to it.
I think everybody heard it.
Was that in the audio?
It probably was a little bit.
Okay.
You could probably
bit.
Remove it.
Yeah. No one will know I opened a soda.
Nobody
will
know.
No one even hear this.
Now everybody knows.
So what I'm saying is, Hades 2 is going to be like Better Call Saul, wherein it's going to start with the quality of the end of the previous thing, which is the finished Hades.
They've iterated upon it and refined it to the point where they have that as their baseline, and they can go even further. Yeah,
there's no way it's worse.
The thing is, Hades 1 is already like one of the most polished games I've ever played. Like, I cannot believe it's like how finished this is.
Yeah.
This is just like loaded with content. It, you know, my entire experience was bug free. And then just like, just the amount of different variations that exist for like dialogue, like that you can just go through so many times and talk to so many NPCs and never hear the same thing twice. It's like it's really staggering.
Do you think it's too late for us to do an episode about Hades? Not today, but at some point.
I mean, maybe it could be today. I don't think this is like the most solid premise.
No. We should do this. We should definitely just people like podcasts that are lists. People love that. That's good. That's what they sign up for. I think for sure we should revisit Hades at some point.
I'd love to, as a
talking point, because I think it's. As much as we've talked about it on several episodes of this show, there's no way we've talked about all of it.
We haven't dedicated a full episode to it, and there's so much depth, and like again, I'm repeating myself, but just content. There's just like so much going on in this fucking game.
In this most anticipated category for the Game Awards, I've said this before, I will say it again. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth is one of the best titles of anything I've ever heard.
It's a fantastic title, and if my, you know, like I haven't read as much about this game. I'm trying to like, you know, not because I am planning to play this one. I haven't gotten as into the Yakuza franchise as I expected after I played the shit out of Yakuza 0 and just loved every second of it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it has some of the same sort of elements from the subtitle that are in Yakuza 0, which so much was about like the bubble economy of Japan and so much of the gameplay involved just like acquisition of obscene wealth. It sort of seems like that's what we're headed towards, that maybe they're trying to cash in on that same or cash in, but maybe they're trying to exploit that same sort of, structure. But I don't know. But yeah, it's coming out in January. So it's like you don't even get a second to breathe. Like they're hitting you with Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth and like the first month of the year.
And this is what I say to games coming out in January.
Yeah.
You couldn't have come out before Christmas so I can get it for Christmas.
But here's the thing, Matt. Then you got too many presents.
No such thing, baby.
I like games not coming out at the holiday season.
Yeah.
I think that's like I like games being released all year round. That's great. Let me pace out my playthroughs a little bit more.
Now, do you think Santa makes the games?
I think he kind of oversees the making of the games. But if you're talking about who's actually like, you know,
getting in there,
yeah, and opening up Unity and, you know,
paying every time you have 3D to use it.
Layout. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think those are the elves. I think this game. It looks like it's for me. And, you know, I didn't play the so this mixes Kiryu, who's one of the protagonists of Yakuza 0, and Ichiban, who is the protagonist of the most recent canonical Yakuza game. And so they're both in this. And I didn't play what the hell was that Yakuza called? Was that one just called Like a Dragon? Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah, it was. This is the confusion. Yakuza Like a Dragon is the one that came out with a new protagonist, and it also had a completely different combat system, which was like more JRPG style turn based. And that's just they've taken that gameplay and then also the subtitle Like a Dragon and just made it the title of the franchise. So it's like the main character from that game. Plus Kiryu, and it's set in Hawaii. I don't know. It just looks like a blast. It looks like exactly like the kind of thing for me. So I'm going to try to budget time for that one.
I wish I could think to do that because we loved Yakuza 0 when we covered it on the show. That was so I loved playing that. I wish I had like a thing where I could stop time and only play the Yakuza games and just play through all of those because I loved that, but they're not all of them are particularly long, but I can't do that for the entire series. I think
I definitely have looked at the list of how, you know, of all the games in the franchise and looked up all their various, lengths on how long to beat and had a game plan for going through them and still haven't done that, but I like planning to play all these games.
I hope you get to it because it does seem like the series seems like it's like really taking off in a really fun way. Like everybody really likes the more recent entries.
You mentioned stop in time.
Well,
that's a thing I think the Prince of Persia might be up to, because if we're looking ahead beyond this selected quintet of the most anticipated game nominees to the 2024 calendar at large. That's one for me. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, coming out on January 18th. This one is It's got, I mean, like, you love this franchise. Are you hyped for this one?
I'm hyped as shit, dog. Even though it's different than the Prince of Persias that I've played.
Yeah.
Because I've only played the 3D Prince of Persias, the Sands of Time, Warrior Within, the Two Thrones.
Yeah, this one has 2D gameplay.
Yes.
But it looks, the art direction is awesome. And it looks, I don't know. I mean, I love this kind of game. This sort of, you know, I assume it plays like a Metroidvania.
Yes.
But it's this looks very much for me. And also, this does harken back, like you were saying, to the original Prince of Persia games.
Yeah.
And I think people are, games way back in the day.
People have maybe wanted something like this. I think maybe me, I would have gone the other way and just done another 3D Prince of Persia game. And certainly probably would have tried to finish
the remake that is probably never coming out again.
Mm-hmm. Man, I just found out too that the Knights of the Old Republic remake is dead as well.
Mm.
That was probably one I was going to be excited about.
Yeah,
and now it's not even coming out anymore. And I guess that just happens. But I'm guessing that. I think that's going to happen.
It's amazing
with
that any game ever comes out, yeah. Honestly. There's so many, the just like the world is stacked against something actually being completed and released.
100%. I'm worried that the Prince of Persia remake will suffer the same fate. But with this, at least this is for sure going to come out and will be a different, iteration of the prince and maybe scratch that itch for me.
Who is this new prince?
Do we know who this guy is?
Matt.
That's what I think.
You don't actually think that.
No, I don't think it's the Purple King.
Anything else in January for you? I mean, I think we hit the big ones. It's
January's
Like
looking
a Dragon,
a little slight.
Tekken 8, we talked about Prince of Persia. It's looking pretty fucking stacked as far as I'm concerned. Two games I want to play, and I'm thinking of them.
I'm thinking of January in terms of the entire year of 2023. Yeah. but yeah, I guess moving on to February. You know, as these remaster packages go,
yeah,
I could be interested in this Tomb Raider remastered starring Lara Croft 1-3.
Yeah, a couple of remasters coming out. There's the Tomb Raider 1-3, and then there's also Star Wars Dark Forces. And that one I'm intrigued in terms of what they're going to actually be doing, because I played Dark Forces back in the day on PC, and it was a... It's just a Star Wars first person shooter. It was very clearly, just following off of the run of Doom likes when that's all everyone wanted to make. That was
the only format
you would make as a and it wasn't like great, but it was really cool that it was just a Star Wars game where you could run around with a blaster and shoot Gamorrean guards.
I see Mon Mothma in a screenshot.
Yeah, there's some Mothma in there. I can't remember if Mothma was in the original game or if this is something they're adding for the remaster. I'm sure she was. But yeah, it's a. I wonder what exactly they're going to do here, and I wonder how extensive it is. I guess I could just watch the fucking trailer. I guess I could have done any prep at all for this.
No. This is our most prepped. I would be interested in that. I know that they've ported some other Star Wars games to like Switch and other consoles. Your Jedi Knights and your Jedi Knights 2, for example. People really like those games, but I don't know how.
Well, yeah, and Jedi Knight began as Dark Forces 2 : Jedi Knight, and then that becomes its own franchise, and then there's Jedi Knight 2. But yeah, your main guy becomes a Jedi in the sequel.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just noticed that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out on the leap day.
Yeah, slated for February 29th. I mean, that'll be another one that it's just like, here's the thing about this show. Because of the way we book it, we have this We Play, You Play, where we play one game at length and talk about it every month. If you're a longtime listener, you know that we do this. It's always kind of an awkward spot when something comes out at like the very end of the month, because mm-hmm. obviously we're not going to have time to do an episode for it in a timely fashion. And then by the time we get to it at like the end of March, it would have to be, is that going to be too late? But I also feel like with a game like that, and especially, I don't think we've done a Final Fantasy VII remake episode.
No.
I feel like we might end up covering that.
We've only done my favorite Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 16. But speaking of March, Nick. don't know if we want, if there's anything else in February you want to talk about.
I mean, again, you're completely out on it now, apparently, but Suicide Squad killed the Justice League in February.
It's a skip for me unless I hear it's great. Like, if I just can't.
Hopefully it will be. I want every game to be good.
I want every game to be good. I know this Mario versus Donkey Kong is coming to Switch also. That's pretty exciting for people that like that.
Persona 3 Reload is one where, again, yeah. I didn't even fucking play Persona 4 Golden, so what am I doing to myself?
I didn't even finish 5.
5 is awesome. I finished the shit out of 5 and loved every second.
Okay.
Game's a fucking masterpiece.
You don't have to yell at me.
I'm just saying.
I do think about it fondly, and I wish I could continue. And who's to say I won't someday?
Yeah, but someday you'll have a spare 140 hours.
Yeah, I'll get to it again. With this magical time stopping machine that I have.
The dagger of time. Yeah.
So far on the release schedule for March.
We should mention we're looking at Polygon's list. That's what the two of us are using just as like a shared point of reference here. Yeah, and it's the kind of thing where what happens is that the first couple of months, everything is set, and then things substantially thin out from there because there's a lot of stuff that's just TBD 2024.
And as of recording, the Game Awards has not aired, and I know that I'm for sure going to guess that there will be games announced with release dates on at the Game Awards.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no?
There are going to be no announcements of anything at the Game Awards.
Not a single one.
This is going to be the one. They're just going to focus on giving awards to the Steamed games of the past year. There's not going to be any sort of marketing tie-ins.
Nick, that's absolutely foolish, and I can't believe you would think something like that.
Well, I'm going on the record and saying there is nothing new will be announced during the Game Awards.
It's, you know what? I'd love to be wrong. I don't need more. We don't need more games. We're good.
One that caught my eye that's currently slated for Switch for March 22nd. It's Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah, let's fucking go.
Because Super Princess Peach, which was for the DS, was such a disappointment and was such a game where I was hoping that it would be like, oh, we get a cool, a proper Princess Peach game, but it's really not. It's just kind of like a... I mean, the premise of it is honestly kind of shitty, which is that, or the core thing, which is that Peach has all these different emotions, and then you can like make her angry, make her sad, make her happy, and then that affects the environment in whatever way. She's gonna cry a bunch, and then that'll like make a vine grow. But also just wasn't that good, like just as a platformer. And I love mascot platformers. I always want to have fun with these games. But I'm hoping that this new Princess Peach game, whatever it ends up being, you know, it certainly like is pretty aesthetically pleasing. But I hope this one actually plays well and actually does Princess Peach some justice because she's a great character.
Great character. I didn't even realize that there was another Princess Peach game. I was ready to be like, it's about time there's been a single Princess Peach game, but maybe it's about time there's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the only one I can think of. I don't know if there was another one that came out at a certain point.
You could play all of Super Mario Wonder as Princess Peach.
That's a great point, Matt.
Thanks.
Not me, though. I stuck with Mario.
No, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, you could.
I'm playing as Mario.
Yeah.
His name's on the fucking box. And then I'm looking at what else we got here, these other locks, and for March and April, and these aren't doing anything for me. I'm sure there's going to be spaces filled in these months. There will be stuff coming out in these months that is not announced.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, I have some fondness for Braid. Obviously, it's a little bit up its own ass, but it is like a really cool, like, hey, we're talking about games as art that would impress the late Roger Ebert. That's certainly a candidate. So the Braid Anniversary Edition, depending on what additional content it has, I mean, I think that's one that's coming with some commentary, like kind of built into it. And that's that's just like an interesting, and yeah, I like these sorts of, I mean, they did that with, you know, the Atari Anniversary Collection is an example of like this game is basically presenting you a lot of history and context for everything that's within this game. And I think there's that could, I wonder if they will have a similar approach here. But yeah, not a thing I'm like sort of chomping at the bit to get my hands on.
Right. But then I'm looking at this list of games with no release date.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm scrolling down. I remember seeing the preview for Contra Operation Galuga. Galaga? It can't be Galaga.
That's not how Galaga is spelled. No. It is Galuga. Now, is it Galuga, like an old-time car horn?
Oh,
maybe.
It's Contra starring Jay Leno.
Yeah.
That looks like a more classic Contra experience than the one that we did on the show, and I would hope that it's good. Because I loved the only Contra game that I've actually ever played is Contra 4 for the DS, and that is one of the hardest games I've ever played in my life, dude.
Yeah, the Contra games could be pretty punishing. You know, I played them all back in the day for NES and Super NES, and I just have no faith in Konami to do this franchise justice.
Sure.
Hopefully it'll be good, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the big one here is Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree DLC.
Yeah, that's...
Again, you were saying that you have more hours in Elden Ring than any other game by, you know, 100 hours. I mean, how hyped are you for this?
It's mid. No, I'm very excited for this, and to the point where I'm like, do I start a new game with a new character? So what I'm like doing this, by the time this comes out, I could either be done with it or be far enough in it where I can just join from wherever this starts.
Yeah.
But I think I'd like to maybe just get back into Elden Ring and clean up house, because I know there's a lot of stuff I didn't do. And I loved my my build in my first playthrough. It's a game that I've intended to start again because I loved it so
right.
much.
Well, you can do that,
but freaking when, dog? but I do really love it, and I'm very excited for Shadow of the Erdtree just because I couldn't even speculate what it could be.
I mean, I probably just will not get around to it, but it does.
You never finished it, did you?
I didn't finish Elden Ring.
That's okay.
I want to.
What about this Funko Fusion? Funko Fusion sounds like it's probably pretty good.
Looking at the rest of the calendar, I mean, like for me, you know, I think if Heather was here, she would talk about the Suikoden remasters.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope it turns out okay. I hope those deliver on the promise of the premise. But for me, you know, I love the Telltale games, and the best of them was The Wolf Among Us, and The Wolf Among Us 2. We'll see if it actually comes out in 2024. But that is one where if they really pull that off, I think that one will be a banger for that style of game. And I honestly also wonder how much of it will be just like, oh, this is just a really aesthetically pleasing hopefully with good storytelling, with storytelling up to its standards, version of this formula, on how much we'll be like, we're going to shake up what we do a little bit.
Yeah, I never even played the Wolf Among Us, but it's on my list.
Hell of a game.
I think I have it. I must own it.
Yeah.
There's a time where like all those games were like $2 or something, and I got a bunch of them, but I would like to play that, so that I could be very excited for the second one, because everyone seems to really love it.
Yeah, if it's for you, it's very for you. And it's one of those games where it is for me. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. I worked with some Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 1 developers back in the day. I mean, that's a game that came out when, I'm looking it up, 2004. So, you know, it's this has been a long dormant franchise. It's a, it's a different developer now. I'm actually not sure if the developer... I think the developer of Bloodlines 1 is folded. Yeah, Troika, they folded. So you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of like a Baldur's Gate 3, where it's just like, here's this big totemic RPG franchise. It's in the hands of a new developer. Are they going to be able to do it justice? And I'm optimistic that they will. But also, I may be pessimistic that this one actually sees a 2024 release, just because of how labor intensive it is to make a game of this sort of scope.
So I see here the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remake for Switch.
Hell yeah.
And I don't have the only Paper Mario games I've played are the one for the 3DS, which I did not love. The Sticker Star, whatever it's called.
No, that one sucked. This is the thing, is that they really lost the plot with the franchise after Thousand Year Door.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, like that's the last good one. Maybe I'm too much of a purist. Maybe I'm too much of a fuddy-duddy. Maybe there are some of these entries that follow that people have some fondness for. But for me, it's like Thousand Year Door. It's like they perfected the formula. Then for some reason, they decided to muck it up with all these future iterations. So I'm hoping the remake is just like, hey, that's that game I love.
And hopefully that it would steer them towards making some more proper Paper Marios.
Because I played the Switch one and I didn't finish it, but I mm-hmm. liked what I played of it. But I understand that, yeah, it's not anywhere close to as good as Thousand Year Door. I see this one. I don't know what it is. It's called Planet of Lana. And that's making me think, why isn't there a Planet of the Apes game? That's a home run to me.
All right, I think we're about done here.
Don't you think?
Now we're like, this title of this game that I don't know what it is reminding me of a game I wish would exist.
I wish
for
there
that
was
point
a,
in the conversation.
I wish
maybe
there was a Planet of the Apes game in the style of like the Shadow of Mordor or something, where you could be these apes and then there's maybe other apes that you fight or whatever.
Have they never made a Planet of the Apes game?
I don't know.
Planet of the Apes Last Frontier.
Hmm.
Came out in 2018. I have no memory of this game.
I never even heard of that.
Not well received.
Yeah, it
apparently.
Looks bad. So maybe I'm wrong. But
no, I mean you're not wrong that the Planet of the Apes franchise could be a cool game.
Yeah,
or could lead to a cool game.
I think it'd be fun. You get to play as one of the apes.
There was a Planet of the Apes game back in 2001. That
Whoa.
Was a tie-in. It was a Ubisoft game, and it was a tie-in to the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes.
Man.
The Ape Lincoln one.
Ape Lincoln?
Did you not see it?
No.
I mean, I just spoiled the ending.
It's Ape Lincoln?
The ending of Planet of the Apes.
So they didn't do the same ending?
No, they were like, well, people already know that the twist ending of like, it's our planet. Like, they already know that. So we got to subvert that way to come up with something different. So what happens is that Mark Wahlberg's character, Mark Wahlberg, the hero of Planet of the Apes, crashes into the Lincoln Memorial. And he's like, oh, I'm back on Earth. I'm finally here. And then he looks up and it's Lincoln, but he's an ape. He's like, no. So what happened is that he like went to a different like reality. And then we came back to his Earth. He thought he was home, but now it's, and then all apes show up. It's just like a bunch of fucking police apes show up. And he's just like, oh, no, I'm on my planet, but it's all apes. It doesn't really make any sense.
But what has happened now is that it's good that I said this.
It's good that you said that. Yeah, no, here's the thing. I wasn't giving you a note. I was just saying that, like, we might be about out of gas.
We might be a little bit out of gas, but I'm glad we got to Ape Lincoln. Wow, how did they ruin that? It's such, I mean, I guess if the premise is, like, or the twist is so known, making it again doesn't work, like it doesn't make any sense, but maybe just do it again.
Yeah, I think just do it again and don't try to work backwards from like, how do we really fuck with people's heads? How do we come up with that? Like, what's a new twist ending we could come up with? Because that's just not going to work
out. Ape Lincoln.
Ape Lincoln.
I got to Google it so I can see it. Ape Lincoln. It fills in the rest of it for you, Planet of the Apes.
It fills it in if you type in Ape Lincoln. It's,
yeah.
It knows what you're looking for.
Wow. This is horrific. That's so funny.
Because it looks like Lincoln, but it's just with an ape head.
And they barely had to change any of it. That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we did that.
Yeah.
But hopefully, if there are games coming out in the year of 2024 that you're excited about, let us know in the comments, and we'll check them out.
Everyone's just commenting about a Planet of the Apes game.
Yeah.
I hope they make one.
I hope we can play as Ape Lincoln.
I think the main thing is, and this is always the thing with doing some sort of preview thing, is some of these are going to be absolute debacles, as we've seen in the past, that just like some overhyped games are to come out and they're going to overpromise, they're going to underdeliver for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
But then also we're going to have a game, like, again, one of my favorites, maybe my favorite of 2023, Dave the Diver. There's going to be some game that just comes out of nowhere that's going to completely eat up everyone's, mind share, and just going to be like, oh, this is the game that's driving the conversation. Vampire Survivors, the same sort of thing. No one was thinking about this game.
Comes out,
and I was like, holy shit, check this, and this entirely new feeling thing that just came out of the indie space. So that's honestly what I'm most hyped for, is a game I don't know about yet that's going to come out and that I know I'm going to love, because that's inevitable at some point this year.
I'm hoping that the developers that listen to this show can just rally together and make the Planet of the Apes game that I want.
Okay.
I know, yeah, that's like right. Like, I'm sure there will be something that catches us by complete surprise, like as there always is. But this also, you know, this might be a dud year.
Maybe
it could be a dud year.
It could be a dud year. There'll be a gem even in a dud year.
Oh yeah, a diamond in the rough.
They could another thing they could do is they could do a Planet of the Apes style Telltale game, and so you have a point where your conversation option is to say, "Get your hand off me, you
damn dirty ape. Just love to pick that dialogue option.
I would love.
How would you not pick that if it was available?
Even I would have to pick all of them at a certain point. I have to see what the options are. But to your point, there should be a Telltale Planet of the Apes game. There should have been like a dozen of these types of games already. But anyway, Nick,
I had to look up the line because I wanted to make sure that I was correct. It's a take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape. Even better.
Just like couldn't put up with any of it immediately. He's like, get off me. What are you doing?
Caesar will remember this.
And then Wahlberg says it like all Wahlberg-y. Get your stinking paws off of me. Nick, you know what time it is. It's time for the question block. Ba-ding. And here we go. These are all from our Discord, discord.gg/getplayed. So if you're not there, get in there. And then you too can leave a comment or a question. This first one is from Ricky Concarne. And Ricky writes, have you guys ever gotten into a phase where you don't feel like playing a game, but still want to watch gameplay of a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, for me, that I reached a certain point of Hearthstone fatigue where I was still enjoying watching high-level tournament play. Mm-hmm. I just likes like, oh, you're so much better at this game than I am, that I just like seeing that. But when I was actually playing the game, I was like, this is predatory pay-to-win bullshit. This is pissing me off, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, so that's one thing that leaps to mind. I don't know, anything come up for you, Matt?
I don't typically watch gameplay, like, I totally get the appeal of Twitch, and you know, we have Twitch streamed in the past, and that's very fun. I myself don't find myself watching that too much, but I will end up watching more like video essays about games or like tech breakdowns. Like I will watch somebody like tear down a PS5 any day. Like, I like to watch stuff like that more than I like to watch people playing a game, I think.
But is the question specifically, hey, I don't want to play this game anymore, but I do want to watch this game? Like, is that what it seems like it's being asked?
I guess it's like, you don't feel like playing a game, but you want to watch gameplay of a game. It doesn't have to be the same game that you're playing.
Yeah, the answer is yes. Yeah. Like, absolutely, I have those feelings. Because it's just a different energy. It's just different vibes. Watching someone stream or just watching like a long play of a game, it's just like a completely different energy from steering the ship yourself. And especially I like seeing people who are like super good at it. I love watching that. I mean, look, I've talked about my fondness for speedruns in the past. I love just putting on a speedrun for a game I've never played.
I guess I can get stuck in like a hole of like being on Reddit for a particular game and just like watching like The Last of Us 2 Ellie like kills and just like watching somebody who's like mastered the combat in that game just like nuts. That's so fun. This next one's from Jado. I don't know how it's XSJADO on our Discord. And they write, what's your go-to RPG character class? Are you an in-your-face fighter type? Or a suave, stealthy rogue?
Great question. By the way, whenever anyone has an inscrutable username, I'm always worried it's a reference for something that I should know.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, ah, shit, I'm just looking like an idiot because I don't know what this reference is. But
I think we all agree. I tried my best.
You tried your best. Anyway, I do like to be, first off, my go-to is Paladin. If Paladin is available, I love being just like, it's very fun to role play. I also just generally like that style of play of just having, you know, being a melee character with buffs and with heals. I think that's just like super fun to play. But if you're asking like, it also depends on context, because if this is like if this is a single character game versus like this is a character that's going to be part of a party, that to me, those are slightly, I mean, obviously not just to me, to anyone who plays games.
Yeah.
Those are different contexts. And if I'm soloing through something, I just want a little bit more versatility.
Yeah.
I want to be able to do a little bit, a little bit of I want to be able to do some stealth. I want to be able to do some ranged. I want to be able to do a little bit of everything. But if I'm in the context of like I'm a part of a party, then yeah, I usually probably will lean towards a paladin or a bruiser, like give myself a big brute barbarian or something.
I feel like I often am gravitated toward who has a beam. Right. And that's
often, do love a beam.
I do love beams. And I feel like those are often sorcerer characters. But sometimes I feel like sorcerers are often like glass cannons, right? Like they can do like lots of damage, but are kind of weak themselves.
Yeah.
So I like to do like in Elden Ring, I had high intelligence and like high strength, so that like if I had to get in the mix there, like
don't you love the fantasy of video games?
Yeah, you can just do whatever. yeah, exactly. Yeah,
my guy is smart and strong.
He's smart and strong.
Fuck, this rules.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what an absolute like different dimension. But I had a high intelligence, high strength build, so that if like I could use my magic from far away, I could. But if I had to like get up close and personal, then it wasn't a problem. And it was still always a problem because that game is very hard and I was not very good at it.
Yeah.
But I did finish it. But I like in Baldur's Gate where you can sort of be like, I guess I can kind of pick like a cheeky answer. Like that's always fun too. Like in an RPG like that, but you don't usually get to have dialogue choices a lot of the time, unless it's like a game with that type of system built into it.
Yeah, it depends on the game. I do like if there are distinct if there are distinct choices for the class from the role playing element, like that to me is that actually probably governs my decision a little bit more. Like you're talking about in a BG3. I think I just like being a fucking big mountain. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
I just like being like big and strong. And so, and Paladin usually qualifies there for me, but I'll go a little bit more melee focused too.
I started in Diablo 4, I started a sorcerer build, and then I wanted to see what the druid build was like. And I liked my druid build a little bit more, but I was a little too far into, my sorcerer build that I went back to that, and then of course never finished it.
I did finish Diablo 4, and I'm like having trouble remembering, like you're talking about games exiting your brain. I'm having trouble remembering what class I played. It's like, what the fuck did I play? What did I put like 40 hours into?
I feel like you
think it was a necro.
Oh, I think that's right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I think it was a necro.
This next one is from Trapezio Prepanini, and they write, "My wife and I are likely moving from New Jersey to California for my job at my startup.
Congrats.
Congrats. I've built a collection of games over the years that, while not as good as Heather's Hole, TM, certainly comes close. From my Virtual Boy to my Mint Inbox NES Deluxe with Rob to my Mint Inbox Chrono Trigger.
Wow.
I'm quite proud of it. Sadly, I think it's time to sell it off to make the move easier. I will keep a select few items near and dear to me. How would you prioritize what to keep and what to sell? And if you were in my shoes, what would be the 5 items you would keep no matter what?"
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask because I just get rid of shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff I regret selling, but for the most part, I'm like kind of the opposite of a hoarder. I just get rid of things when I feel like they no longer serve me. But I will say that if you got a Mint and Box Chrono Trigger, hold on to that bad boy. I mean, that feels like an easy one for the keep list. I think the obvious thing to do is just to like think of bulk, because, you know, that ROB, the robotic operating buddy, maybe a cool little item, but how much space is that going to take up for your cross country move?
Maybe sell it to Get Played, and we'll replace a co-host.
Thing's got too much charisma.
Yeah. I'd say for stuff that you're going to keep, I would absolutely prioritize mint stuff, especially if it matters to you. If it doesn't matter to you that much, then part with it. And then, you know, that can be a nice payday for you. But I would consider these things as well. If you've played it in the last 5 years, for like actually getting in there.
Yeah, right.
Like,
I want to revisit this thing.
It.
Yeah.
If you played it in the last 5 years and you think you might do it again, keep it. If not, see ya. And then my other criteria is, can it be played on something else modern?
Yeah.
If it can be played on something else modern and it's not like super, it's not mint or you won't miss it, get rid of it. And then, you know, you could play it on like Nintendo Switch Online or something, right? Or there's a port of it on a different in an HD collection or whatever, and then you can play it that way. I think parsed out, and then that way you can be able to still have the memory, but on newer hardware is what I would do.
I think that's good guidance.
Yeah. This next one is from Sigvic 373.
If you could bring back any handheld, what would it be? Feel free to include any weird accessory or accessories made for said handheld. My immediate thought is Game Boy Advance SP. Not necessarily that, but the form factor. The SP was so good to me. And I just love being able to fold that bad boy up and put it in my pocket and just kind of be done with it. But the hinges, I know, are a big factor for why things don't really have hinges anymore, because that is always the breaking point.
Yeah, but it was great for portability and durability of the screen, at least. Yeah. I mean, I did like that SP. That was cool. I had an SP Lite, which was had a backlight to it, or maybe it was a front light.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, and that was great. And that just like they released an upgraded one later, and it was one of those quiet hardware updates, but the screen looked way better. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting one of those. And I rocked with that for a while. And yeah, that is one piece of hardware I wish I still had. But the question is, what would we bring back?
Yeah.
What is this thought exercise? Like it's just back, and it's just like, hey, they're making new games for this.
I'm thinking, yeah, I think it's back, John Wick style.
I don't know. I mean, I would say the Vita, just because the Vita is cool. It's a cool piece of hardware. But yes. I feel like by this point, like, you know, anything they could make for the Vita, they could just make for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, I'm just gonna say the DS. I mean, that dual screen form factor is really cool.
Yeah,
make more DS games.
The DS is really nice. If there was like a, just the DS. I love my 2DS. I'll say I love busting that out every now and then too. But the DS is absolutely home run. This next one is from Arctor, and Arctor writes. Question for the group, but I'm especially interested in Weiger's perspective from a former game development insider. With the advent of AI across all forms of media these days, from writing to analytics and now to programming and coding, what do you expect the landscape to look like for the gaming industry in a decade? More cheaply produced AI-built stuff that will lead to job losses but cheap games? Or will this fad pass like NFTs?
It's a great question, and I wish I offered any unique insight based off of my development experience, but honestly, I can only speculate like any random asshole, but I would say that I do think that there's a little bit of the discussion of generative AI and its place in, you know, making content. I think there are... And I feel safer saying this on the other side of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes, where some protections have gotten in for the creators there. I do think some of that stuff is maybe a little bit overblown, some of those concerns. And I also think that a big part of how people consume content is they want it to be from somebody. Like a big part of fandom is I like this person. And in games, from a game standpoint, I like this developer and I like the games they make. And you want to support them. And if it turns out that what they're making is you know, AI generated, all of a sudden, I feel like that goodwill falls away and it feels like a betrayal. So I think there will be certainly a lot of cheap bullshit that is just churned out in the same way that they were like, I was hearing a thing about that. There's a bunch of fake AI generated travel guides that just sell on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And they're all just like these, you know, like a guide to Washington, D.C. that's like completely made up. It's just complete bullshit. You buy this book and it's like identifying landmarks that aren't there.
Yeah. Ape Lincoln.
Yeah. and so like I think that sort of cheap sort of ripoff shit will exist as it already, you know, does exist. And it's there's no gatekeeping in so many of these online stores. So I think there'll be a lot of that crap. But I don't think it's going to dominate the marketplace, I think, in the way that people feared. Hopefully not. I hope I'm right there. Yeah. We'll see.
Get your hands off of me, you damn dirty AI. And finally,
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I have very little thought about it because I see what AI makes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way that people want this. Like, it looks bad. Like, all of it looks bad. And like we joke about like the AI president stuff and like that shit's like funny, but it's like somebody's on the back end, like coming up with that.
Their AI is being used as a tool. It's being used to create the simulacrum of president voices. but someone is doing the work of like writing and editing this thing together. It's not like, hey, create this thing. Or maybe it is, but I don't think someone's just putting into a prompt, create the create the presidents of, you know, Presidents Obama, Biden and Trump debating the Soulsborne tier list. I don't feel like that's like there's still some.
Yeah. In the way that like teenagers talk to each other online.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all that to say, I guess, like, I don't think I've seen anything AI that I've been impressed by or that I want more of. There's like it's all of it is garbage to me. Like, I don't it's so I don't have any fears of it like taking over in a significant way like that at all. Like it just there's no way that people are going to stand for that.
Yeah, I think so. But also who fucking knows?
Yeah.
I'm ready to be replaced by an AI podcast in 10 years, so we'll see.
And finally, this one's from Andrew S.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. You are on a 3-month mission to Mars. What game do you take to pass the time? Now I have a cheat answer.
Mm-hmm.
The Kingdom Hearts all-in-one collection. So it's got everything. It's got all Kingdom Hearts on a single disc.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's two discs, but I think it counts because it comes in one box. And I can just play through Kingdom Hearts over the 3 months on my way to Mars. And then have all that knowledge to help me when I'm there.
Yes. Do you have internet access in this scenario?
Hmm.
I think probably no, right?
I think the vessels have internet.
Like high-speed internet? Like you play Fortnite on this thing? I feel like that's far-fetched.
We're going to Mars, baby. I think they got it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you'd want to play, like, that's a great answer. Anything, something that's just, like dense with a lot of content that you put many, many hours into is a good way to go. But I kind of feel like this is a scenario where you'd want a game that you could play to keep playing, you know, like you'd want more of like a Tetris or something that you can just play over and like you play endlessly.
Wow. But Tetris for 3 months straight.
It's also a pretty brisk trip to Mars. I'm not saying Tetris would be my pick, but I'm saying like that's the kind of game that I would want, something that I would keep playing a bunch.
I'm thinking it's taking us 3 months to get to Mars. That's what I'm thinking. It's not like we're going and then staying there for 3 months and then coming back. It's taking us 3 months to get there.
No, I get that. Yeah. That still feels like a brisk trip to Mars, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like it would take 5 years?
I guess, but I'm like a quarter of a year. That's pretty...
How long does it take to get to Mars? Let me ask some AI. I feel like that's a multi-year voyage.
It says about 7 months.
NASA says 7 months. Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. 3 months, 7 months, whatever.
They've refined the travel and cut it down to over half the time. And they have the internet.
Yes. All that said, I think that drives me towards a game that I've played a lot of that I can just play again and again, but also has a little bit of, you know, some elements of human connection and community, which I think I might be missing on this lonely voyage.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that answer is Stardew Valley.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, it's open ended. I can play this game endlessly and I can keep rolling new characters and keep trying to make new kinds of farms. But also, you know, I can make friends with all the villagers.
I think that's good. Yeah. If you like,
except for Pierre, no one likes Pierre.
Oh, sorry, Pierre. I guess. Yeah, you can't. It's not going to happen for you.
And we can ship your ass off to Mars. Oh, you can stay there.
Oh, you're going to leave Pierre on Mars. You're going to take his coat out and leave him on Mars. Leave him on the big red giant.
Maybe if he's kept his general store open on Wednesday, then he could stay.
That is pretty inconvenient.
Yeah.
That's like when you can do most of your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Are you taking hump day off? One town and one store in town.
Take Sunday.
Yeah,
exactly. That's fine. But, yeah, I guess I'll just use that 3 month time to brush up on the lore of Kingdom Hearts and come back a scholar. But that was
honestly Emma's Tears of the Kingdom / Breath of the Wild shout out from earlier. I mean,
kind
of
not like, bad actually.
That honestly is thinking. You could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, you could for sure find every Korok seed.
Exactly.
And that was the question block, guys. Thanks so much for writing in. And like I said before, you can write in with your questions and comments at discord.gg/getplayed. And Nick, I think that's this week's episode.
That's this week's Get Played. We should be back caught up to the present next week.
Yeah.
If this schedule holds. If not, this will be edited out and you won't hear it.
That's right. And if you do hear this, that means the schedule held.
That's right. shout out to Emma for filling in for Rochelle Chen this week.
Yes.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank
Emma,
you
want to plug?
No, I got nothing. Happy New Year, maybe.
Yeah, Happy New Year, maybe. Yeah. Again, this might be edited out. Yeah,
who could say?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Also, check out our Patreon, where you'll find our anime recap show, Get Animated, plus our pre-HeadGum back catalog. That will all be at patreon.com/getplayed.
And Nick, I think 2023 got played.
Wow. And you know what's going to get played? 2024.
Sorry.
That was a HeadGum podcast.